ahead and open our Bibles, getting back into the fourth chapter of Philippians, and we'll go ahead and read tonight from the first seven verses of Philippians chapter 4. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my crown and joy, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Synth, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Been some of the most comforting scripture to my life. I'm so grateful to God. I think about how He keeps us and how the rest of God that He gives to His people when we cease from our own works. Praise His name. But last week, brothers and sisters, we did launch into this treasure in this fourth chapter. And God so sweetly expressing through Brother Paul the love and the longing that saints of like precious faith, and talking about this faith of the hope of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus toward one another, and how important this love is that strengthens us and encourages us on. But Paul here again is speaking to the lovers of the race. Think about the words that he uses here. Dearly beloved, two times. Longed for, joy and crown, and true yoke fellow. Now, brothers and sisters, even on the surface, if we did not search these words out, you know something important is being said here. There is a group of saints here that there is a love that is shared between them and Paul that supersedes even normal Christian love. You know what I'm saying. But what's so wonderful as we seek and we look into this scripture, and as we look into the Greek of each one of these words, you will find out in one way or another that every one of them means a spouse, a wife, preferred, exalted rank, and fervent love. Now, brothers and sisters, it's evident God is speaking here to His wondrous bride. Now, these are the saints that have taken, again, from the Holy Spirit so freely given, the things of Christ and cherished them. And asks that, again, in this wonderful passage of Scripture, that it's apparent to the hearts of these in this company that they are of the same heart of Paul. They desire the body of Christ, and they desire to be around it. And not only is it a desire, as Brother David said, delirious, there's a longing, there's a panting to be together. Brother Paul expressed this, and they did for him as well too, how their love was so fervent one for another. But it's always in the Word of God, there's endless manifold layers in this scripture. And as we're going to progress down tonight, as the Lord will, we're going to see this perfect, beyond understanding peace of God. But as we get down to this, the one thing that's going to be evident, I believe, that's going to come to the surface so sweetly, is we're talking about all the way through the fruit of the Spirit. And especially tonight, love, joy, and peace. Now think about this. The love of God, which is so clearly stated in the very beginning, dearly beloved, dearly beloved. You think about how God deals with us and always does. It's love all the way through, but He begins in love. God so loved the world that He gave. Amen? I was speaking to a brother this week, and again, thanking the Lord so sweetly that it is his work, it is his love. He was dealing with a man that was being somewhat cantankerous with him, talking about somehow we could merit something from God by our works, by our self-imposed efforts, of those types of things. And as we began to rejoice in the Lord brought out so sweetly to both of us again in that memory is that, you know, it's all in his Son. It's all in the life of his Son. And when Christ comes to live in us, brothers and sisters, and truly as we yield to God, he wills and does of his good pleasure in our life. It's the Lord Jesus Christ in us that causes us to be brothers and sisters that reveal and show and allow the love of God to be brought through one to another. But here we go. It goes from dearly beloved. And then the love of God is brought through more and more by this wonderful grace. And this is grace that we're speaking of here, brothers and sisters, because it's the undeserved and unmerited love of God to us. You think about how God sent his only begotten Son. And you think, why? If you looked at the world, you'd think, oh my goodness. But that's what the Lord knew, is it needed goodness. It needed truth, and it needed love. And praise the Lord, Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And then after this love, brothers and sisters, in verse 4, you talk about joy. Joy, and again, I say rejoice. And then tonight, we're going to hit peace, love, joy, and peace. And this peace that we're going to speak of tonight is not just any old peace. This is the upper room peace. There in John chapter 14, verse 24, when the Lord said to them, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let your heart not be troubled, neither let it be afraid." See, this is what the Holy Spirit would bring, brothers and sisters. This is why the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. Amen? Amen, and I'm so thankful to God tonight. He is the Comforter. And as we allow the Holy Spirit to truly bring and reign the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives, the Holy Spirit reveals to us this precious peace that rests, and praise God, this precious peace that rests in the bride's heart. Now, this is not only the peace, brothers and sisters, that we are his workmanship. It's not only the peace that all things work together for our good, but this is truly the peace that holds everything together, and that is, he just loves us. The simplicity of it all is Jesus Christ just loves you. That's it. That is the perfection of peace, and that's the grace of God. He loves you. You didn't do anything to deserve it. You didn't do anything to merit it. God so loved the world that he gave. It just so happened to be the very plan, the intent. God's total inheritance is in the saints. I marvel, coming from an investment world, how man would always tell us, well, you need to diversify. You can't just be totally invested in one thing. Well, God is totally invested in one thing, his Son, and his Son in us. And praise the Lord, oh, the windfall of profit that God wants to see in the sons of God. Isn't that just so mighty? Now, brothers and sisters, in that, it's not only that he just loves us. As we see in this scripture, he's crazy in love with us. And that's the peace, if you really think about it. That's the great peace that rests in the bride's heart. This is the peace that is in the readied wife. She knows his love for her. She doesn't doubt it. She's strong in his love for her. As the Shulamite finally says, "I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me." The one thing that thrills me more than anything, as God allows me the privilege to marry those that truly are equally yoked together, is to see the heart of that dear bride, the wife-to-be, rest in that man that she's going to marry. Now, I've counseled many that there wasn't a rest, and the Lord has me hesitate and stop even from marrying some. You're not ready. There could be many different things, but the one thing you're always looking for in a couple is, are they resting in their love one for another? Think about it. Think about it. The Father is seeking the true worshiper who worships Him in spirit and in truth. That's someone by God's grace that has received His love, that is so head over heels in love with His Son that He rests. That He rests in the relationship of this wife-to-be for His Son. That He knows that she has taken and allowed the Holy Spirit to grow up that life that He freely gave to her in all things in His life, in that life that will love His Son back at the rate and the immenseness as the Son loves her. But see, brothers and sisters, she rests, she rejoices, and she's completely confident that He is coming to take her away. That's how you can love His appearing. Not just to take you out of here, but praise God, He's coming for me. He's coming for me because He loves me. He's coming for me. Oh my. Now, do you think that's why maybe in verse 4, or I should say in verse 5, she's gentle? Let your moderation be known unto all men. When you know you're loved, you have nothing to prove. Amen? You rest. You're content. You're thankful. You're grateful. And you know what? You want it for others. When you see that kind of relationship and you're experiencing that, even in the natural, those that have good marriages and the Lord has allowed them to truly be the Christians that they should, they want others to have that. See, God, I tell people all the time, God intends marriages to be good and loving. Well, let me tell you something. There is going to be a marriage that is going to be good and loving, and that's going to be the marriage for His Son. It's going to be perfect because all we're talking about is the very life of His Son grown up into that bride like Him. Like Him. Isn't that marvelous to think? It is beyond understanding, but it is a peace that's beyond understanding. Because the only way that we could receive something like that is to realize, Lord, this could be nothing of me. Because if I'm honest with myself, and if you're honest with yourself, you know that in self is only a wicked way. And only God could do something like this. Only God could bring this kind of love truly out for His Son, the head. And for the body, praise God, the Son's body. Isn't that wonderful? Now, this is why she's gentle. This is that word moderation. And that word moderation, it means forbearing, yielding, unselfish, considerate. Because she's full of peace. There's a harmony in her life. As we've read, she seeks the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace with the brethren. Brothers and sisters, I believe God is bringing us into that time. I believe there's ones that are truly seeking that. Not just to get along. That's not what I'm talking about. It's that our fellowship is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there's nothing sweeter. There's nothing greater. There's nothing more. There's nothing worthy to be compared with that. That is our life, like we rejoiced on Sunday. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. How simply marvelous. How wonderfully beautiful. And what rest and peace to the people of God that realize that we are His workmanship. everything against what this flesh wants to feel. Everything against what man in his wisdom and his self-righteousness wants to convey. Organization. From point A to point B, the steps that you have to proceed. By my Spirit, saith the Lord. And as I've said many times in getting up in the morning, Lord, where are we going to go today? Praise the Lord, it's exciting. It's so exciting. But brothers and sisters, it's in that perfect peace and it's in that rest, that gentleness, that contentment that she has in knowing how God loves her, that now in prayer, she's careful for nothing. Isn't it wonderful? See, she's got it all because she's got Him. Do you got it all? Or are you lacking anything? Come on. I read in the Word of God that His children have been blessed with all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I don't care how you feel. I'm looking to the Word of God by faith. And you've got it all. You have it all. Praise the Lord, because we have Jesus Christ. How wonderful. Now, she's got it all because she's got Him. She's got it all because she knows He's coming for her. So here we go. She needs to be anxious for nothing. There's nothing to be anxious about. Praise the Lord. I'm confident in God. She's full of care for nothing but Jesus. When the cares of this life, brothers and sisters, and the weights of this life get on us, they're going to hinder our run. They are. In one way or another, they're going to hinder us. They're going to impair our vision. We're going to be distracted. And that's the only thing the enemy wants to do. He knows he cannot keep a child of God from heaven. You are a son of God if you've accepted Christ as Savior. The Word of God says you are seated in the heavens in Christ. Amen, amen. But we know we have an enemy. And that enemy, as we go on with the Lord encourages us, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. See, brothers and sisters, the life is yours. You have the life of Christ. That seed you have. Praise God, you're born again. But what about the crown? What about the glory? I want to apprehend Him. How about you? Amen. See, that's the glory. And by doing that, it's amazing the glory we become to Him. Hallelujah. But brothers and sisters, when we are tied up in the things of this world, it suffocates us from living the life of faith. And it's one way or the other. We are either living faith or unbelief. There's no other way. Neutral we cannot be. We either are believing God for it or we're wrestling with the Scriptures. We're living in unbelief. God help our unbelief. Now, think of this in what we're studying here. This is why this sweet, as we say, this bride, this readied wife is such at peace. In chapter 3, verse 13, God has already addressed the past. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Leave them behind. Praise God. I know my Lord does two things with those that are behind. The mistakes, the blotches. Praise God for justification. Amen, amen. And all my trophies that God has allowed me by His grace to succeed in faith. I know that he's bottled up every one. Leave it behind. The past is the past. Now, jumping to 4:13, and God willing, we'll get there. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. That's the present. That's how we live. God, I'm here. Thanks be to God. Have your way. I know it's going to be your strength that does it. I know it's going to be your might that's going to get us. Praise God. Get me through. You've already won the victory. The way of escape has already been made. So I'm just totally relying on you. And then, well, you say, brother, what have we read about the future? Well, I love verse 5. The Lord is at hand. That's my future. Praise God. The past is behind. I live right now that he's strengthening my life. And in the next moment, praise the Lord, he's at hand. He could come at any moment. Jesus is on the wing. As Paul said, them that love his appearing. And I'll tell you, a wife-to-be that knows that her husband is coming, her bridegroom is coming, she's attentive, she's looking, she's waiting. Could it be not just today, but could it be the next moment? Hallelujah. This is the peace that passes all understanding that we're going to. The very peace of God. And there's one thing I'm noticing about this world right now. It is totally void of peace. And the reason is because they've rejected and neglected the grace that is so freely given, Jesus Christ. Full of grace and full of truth. You'll never have grace without Jesus, because he is grace. And without that sweet grace, you'll never have peace. And that's where I hurt often for the people of God that get caught up into legality and self-works. That's not grace. It's either grace or it's works. As Paul said to them, having run well, you begun so sweetly in grace, in that spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? What's the matter, you? And that's the truth. What is going on? We know. It's just we're turning to that enemy. And the enemy always loves to use self. Feeling. Amen. We know these things. We're quick to want that. This can only come by my spirit, saith the Lord. And boy, I'll tell you, we need to be full and overflowing with the spirit. Amen. That's why I encourage you, brothers and sisters, don't let a day go by that you're not on your knees and rejoicing in the spirit. The most holy faith, you know that? We're going to talk about this just for a bit, maybe tonight in Jude. Praying in the Spirit, in the Holy Spirit. Come on now. Did the Bible say follow Paul as he followed Christ or not? Don't neglect those things. It's so beautiful. It's so wonderful. And I'm not talking about the feeling of it, and that's good too. But it's the faith. It's yea, the deep things of God. It's where he's drilling that faith down too. And praise be to God, we know what comes up from that, don't you? Complete confidence. Absolute assurance that Jesus Christ, you're for me. And if you be for me, who could be against me? Amen? Amen. See, we abound in hope. We abound in it. We don't just got hope, and that hope, again, is not an if. Our hope, brothers and sisters, is when. Just when is Jesus coming? Well, it might be tonight. Praise the Lord. Now, this is the heart, by God's grace, I want. And I believe you do, too. I read about this, and this isn't just something on a page. This is the word of life. This is the word of God. And this is the word of God working effectually in them that believe. And praise the Lord, these are the saints that love the race. They love combating. They love to fight the good fight of faith. I was talking to a sister about the armor of God and how wonderful it is. And she had seen a movie about the soldiers in basically biblical times. And was looking at those shields and how The enemy would shoot arrows at him and they'd get completely under the shield. And then they would go ahead and have that sword or spear go through the shield and fight. Praise God. But when they did that, they also had the shield on the backside of them. Can you imagine that? That armor goes all the way around. Never forget it. But I'm thankful to God. See, we're just standing in what we already have. I don't need to advance. I just need to stand in what He's already given me. I've already got it all. What else do I need? I just need to realize that He's given me it. Craziest thing you could ever say. Hallelujah. But I'm crazy for Christ. I'm a fool for Christ's sake. Hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful? We believe the simplicity of the Word of God. I'm thankful that He's won this for me. I'm thankful that that wonderful work on the cross is finished. And praise God, that's where I go. That's the life He gave me. And that's the life, praise the Lord, that believes the Word of God in me. And that's the life that loves the Lord in me. And that's the life, praise God, that gives me the peace and rest of God in me. Christ in me, the hope of glory. I'll tell you what, you ever want a hope of glory, it's got to be Christ in you. Amen? Amen. Boy, I must be talking to a bunch of needy failures here tonight. Praise the Lord. You stay right there and you'll realize how blessed you are when you realize it's all Jesus and His work. Now you can see why we have this sweet peace, brothers and sisters. It's because of Jesus. And it's because faith is brought to us. And again, that's grace. He caused us to believe that He's got it all. He's got my past, He's got my present, and He's got my future. And that's why, in Jesus' name, it's everything, every single thing by prayer. Do you love to pray? Pray always. Continue in prayer. I love to talk to Jesus. More importantly, I love Him to speak to me. I love the Word of God, and I love how the Spirit brings it to my memory. And not just as words or monikers, as you say, on your door or on a wall. I appreciate that. We have them in our home. I love when people come in and they say, for me and my house will serve the Lord or praise the Lord over here. But is it here? Can they see a face? Can they see a man that might go to work? And day after day, the things that that person goes through, yet the joy of the Lord is my strength. Huh? That's the greatest testimony. Christ in us. Christ in us. Now, everything in prayer is just what it says. Everything. Put it all on the altar. Because our whole life, brothers and sisters, is by faith. Nothing's too small for God. Don't leave anything out. And nothing's hidden from God. I thank Him for that as well too. I can be real before Jesus because He knows me better than I know myself. And I'm thankful for that. I say, Lord, teach me. As David said, search me, Lord. If there be any wicked way, let's get it out. Show me. Show me, Lord. Sometimes it ain't too pretty. Better have your eyes on the cross because that's beautiful. Amen. So brothers and sisters, I was thinking one time when I was listening to a fireman. He was telling these kids to stop, drop, and roll. On fire, you know. It's probably a good thing to remember. First of all, just don't get on fire that way. But, you know, you're in a fiery trial. The Lord was speaking to me. Stop. Drop to your knees and pray. And that's the truth. I pray it would be the first thing that we would do. I mentioned, it was so sweet to me last night, I didn't even get a mention to my wife. We went to a concert at the school, and the young boy I had a privilege to pray for that hit his head in that game, and he was bad off. Had a concussion, was vomiting, and that's a very dangerous sign and all. The Lord just encouraged my heart. It was time to pray. Just went over to him. I knew him. laid hands on him and just calling out to the Lord. What a sweet time. And it was sweet. His mom come over and was praying with us as well too. But it was so sweet because he came up to me last night and he just gave me a big hug. He said, I knew when I heard the name of Jesus, it was all fine. He said, thank you for praying for me. And I thank God by his grace. It was stop, drop, and let's go pray. What else are you going to do? There wasn't any medical people there or different things like that in any ways. Who knows what they would have done or not done anyway. They talked to him a long time. I'd rather just go to visit Jesus, the great physician. Say, Lord, this is yours. And we're going to rest. Because, brothers and sisters, he's got it. In Jesus' name, we've got the attention of heaven itself. And we know that God is on the throne. And we know that he is for us. So how wonderful. You talk about a power. But brothers and sisters, in Jesus' name. I was thinking again how one of the brothers reminded me, Brother Hill had a sweet thing that he'd say about people that would pray, you know, this way or that way. And they say, well, you know, you can pray in whatever you want, but that prayer, if it's not in Jesus' name, ain't going to get any higher but your head. That right here. But in Jesus' name, it goes right into the throne, on the lips of my Savior, and right into the ear of the Father. Isn't that awesome? And it's not only that prayer that goes there. In Jesus' name, I'm there. That gives me the most comfort. Come boldly to the throne of grace. When you pray, know that you're in the presence. In Jesus' name, we're in the presence of the Godhead. Know that. He's here in the midst of us. How do I know? The Bible tells me so. Amen. All right. Yep. The Bible tells me so. Now, goes on to say here, and by the way, we're in the sixth verse, but it says, prayer with supplication. Believe him. The word works effectually in them that believe. Have you ever said a prayer not believing? I have. You have. Thank God he helps us with our unbelief. Thank God, even when I believe not, what does it say? He abides faithful. Hallelujah. He's tender. He understands very, very well that I am not perfect. And the only one that is perfect is him. And he loves this vessel. And all he wants this vessel to do is to have a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And that's something he can work with. Amen? Now, I'm not talking about groveling in your failure. But I'm talking about really knowing who you are but for God. That you're a waste, you're a nothing, you're wicked, but God. And Jesus came in and everything changed. Because now I'm a son. Oh, hallelujah. So brothers and sisters, supplication. Believing that he cares about everything, and he does. That he is able, that nothing is hard for him, and that he is for you. How about trusting God that his grace will cause you to pray according to his will? Doesn't it say come boldly to the throne of grace? It doesn't say come in there wishy-washy or doubting or come boldly in there. Lord, let this mind be in me. You told me to ask for it. You have it right there for me. I will be unto you wisdom. I've been made unto you wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Are you lacking wisdom? Always. Do I need it? Ask. Does he give it liberally? He doesn't hold back. He pours it on. Thanks be to God that it's there all the time for us. But ask. Knock. Seek. Praise God, you'll find it. You'll have it. God is right there to give it to us. He's fully and amply supplied us everything. All he's looking is for faith. That's how God is pleased. Look to my Son. Look to the Word. Pray according to my will. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, Lord, you'll bring that sweet mind to me. I'll know how to pray. Even when I don't know how to pray, the Spirit, he does it. The Word of God is so faithful. It's right there always. But see, this is what grace is, and this is trusting and believing that prayer works effectually. That believing prayer is the cure for every care. And then as we mentioned earlier in Jude 1:20, you talk about the most holy faith prayer. That's praying in the fervent love of the Holy Ghost. And as we said earlier, he takes it so deep, the only thing that springs up from there is complete confidence in God. Holy Ghost spreads the love of God abroad in our hearts. Amen? Amen, he does. Well, how does faith work? Works by love. And we know these things, and the Word of God tells us. And this is why in Jude 1:20 it says, it builds up the beloved brethren. And I'm so thankful for that. The word of his grace. That's how we're built up. Given an inheritance. Praise the Lord. It's his grace. It's his word. I think about how Brother Paul, he so sweetly prayed for his friend Epaphroditus. What a sweet brother. He prayed for him not to die. But we know that he wasn't certain in this matter because of the thanks and the expression of great relief to God that God had spared him. See, God did not show him exactly what was going to happen in that instance. He just prayed to the Lord, Lord, if it be thy will, spare my brother. I've had sorrow upon sorrow. Thank God you kept me from this. Praise the Lord. But then, brothers and sisters, God at times will definitely let us know something about in prayer. That's a pretty exciting time, isn't it? I know most of us say, Lord, how come that couldn't be every time? Well, I'm thankful to the Lord that he shows us that, you know what, he's never going to do it the same way. Even in his healings, I always thank the Lord all throughout the Word of God, whether it was just spoken, whether he picked up dirt and spit in it and put it in an eye, whether he told him to go wash in the Jordan. Amen, amen, amen. Our ways aren't his ways. And I'm thankful for that. And God is looking for faith. But I thank him. There's been times in my life, and one recently, that the Lord, in going to pray for somebody, he let me know in prayer truly what he would do. And I'm thankful to the Lord for that. It's a sweet time. But brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you something. The most holy faith, praying in the most holy faith, is completely trusting the Lord that he does all things well, that he does all things right, that he withholds nothing good, and that he will only perfect that which concerns me. And that's when you don't know what the outcome's going to be. And you know what? That's the most precious to him, and that's the way it's going to be most of the time. Amen? But the thing that we do know that supersedes it all is that he's working all things together for my good. Because by grace I love him. Because by grace I've been called according to his purpose. And we're thankful for that, brothers and sisters, in our lives, that we have that assurance. And see, when that comes in our hearts to dwell, that's when the next part of this sweet verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving to God. Thanksgiving to God is, Lord, I trust you. Lord, I trust you because you love me. Amen? Isn't that why even from little babies, mom and dad, they're the ones that love us. And proper parents, children love and they trust and they put confidence in. But that's the thanksgiving to God. Lord, I trust you because you love me. I trust you. The Word of God tells me the way of escape's already been made, that all things will work together for my good. 1 Corinthians 10:13, God is faithful, Lord, you will not tempt me beyond what I can bear. I know there's been many times in my life, and you can say it in yours too. Lord, we're getting close. Huh? He'll always bring us to that precious place, as Brother Paul said, despairing of your own life. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, as we close this tonight, what he's encouraging us here is to pray always, everything, but believing, expecting him, knowing that it's already been answered, knowing, as the Word of God says, the way of escape's already been made, that, Lord, I can trust you to rejoice. Sure, there's a sorrow, but we don't sorrow as them that don't have hope. Even when I'm in the midst of the furnace, even when I'm in the lion's den. And brothers and sisters, when we get that wondrous glory, when we're in the trial, there's nothing greater. It's not that we're singing on the mountaintop after we're gone through it. It's praise the Lord, trusting God while we're in it. That's what he's looking for. That's the groaning of the crying to God and understanding, Lord, you are having your way in my life. You are bringing the greatest profit to my life in suffering together for your sake. And brothers and sisters, we think about this. We pray, believing, expecting it to be answered, and thankful because he has ordered it for perfecting my life. And he ends it here. Let your requests be made known unto God. And every time I read that, I think, Lord, isn't it amazing? You said that you know my thought afar off. You know what I was going to ask for, not before I said it, before you set a star in heaven. You knew me. You saw me. Praise the Lord. So why do I need to let you know? Why do I need to make my requests known unto you? Well, for my sake, for my comfort, to come into the throne room and to sup with you. And then he stopped me and I thought, oh, how wonderful. You just like me to be with you. You do. You do need me. In the sweetest way, you want my praise. You want my fellowship. You want me to love you and respond because you first loved me. Oh, what fellowship is in the throne room with God? And I think about, because the throne room is in Jesus' name. And that's faith. That's where faith, all faith lies, is in Jesus' name. Because he's the Word. And it's impossible to please God without the Word, without faith. He's looking for that. He's yearning for that. And I think tonight, how much praise and honor and thanks and glory we've bestowed upon the Godhead tonight, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And I believe we're hearing the Word of God. I believe it's working effectually in lives that are sitting here right tonight. Even just one little thing. How great for eternity. This world and all its treasure couldn't compare with one line that you've received tonight. Do you know that? Heaven and earth will pass away, but the Word of God endureth forever and ever and ever and ever. I was taken back the other day thinking about the Word, Jesus Christ, the head. And here's the body. You're part of the Word of God because of Christ in you. Forever. Amazing. Going to have a body like unto his own and a mind someday too. To even begin to understand the glory that we're talking about tonight. But brothers and sisters, he never leaves nor forsakes us, does he? But see that prodigal that got out there. Who's always in the hand of God. He's a son. Amen? But what was lacking was the fellowship. And see, brothers and sisters, the fellowship only happens one place. And that's in the kingdom. God help us, in Jesus' name, to come and desire to be in the throne room. Where the fellowship is restored with the Father. Because that brings us to the final verse that we read, which is verse 7. Everything we talked about tonight. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. See, only the fellowship of prayer and worship can bring that. Amen. See, because what that brings is the reality to us that he is the keeper. He's keeping all of it. That we're shut up to him. That, praise the Lord, I am a prisoner of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm a prisoner of love. Get that right. But she completely trusts in that keeping. She completely trusts in his love for her. You go and rejoice. Maybe later on tonight in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9 through 11, talks about the peace of God, the rest to the people of God, just as God did as we cease from our own works. But that's the only time it's ever going to happen. I'm caught up in my own works. I'm not in the throne room. I'm trying to do something on my own. I'm not in the throne room. When I'm completely dependent upon God, I'm in the throne room. Amen. Christians, all Christians, have peace with God. But oh my, only these saints of the high calling truly have the peace of God. That's why it's written here. The peace that passes all reasoning. I love that. It passes all reasoning. How can you be at rest? Shame on you. You don't care enough. You never really loved that brother or sister. You're just being arrogant. No, I'm trusting God. I'm believing the word. And I'm not going to be moved. But brothers and sisters, it passes reasoning, knowledge, understanding. It finally rests, as Peter. Poor brother, he squirmed around a lot, didn't he? But I appreciate when the Lord really sought his heart out. Peter, do you love me? Finally, it had to end one way. Lord, thou knowest. It's you that know. I don't know a thing, God, but the one thing I do know is you know everything. You gave me your heart, so you know that. And that's what he's talking about. My heart and my mind, my soul and my thoughts, my helmet of salvation, through Jesus Christ, into the throne room, it is well. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed.